This is Bird's Eye View, your sailing podcast. Live, Sail, Die had put together what we hope is going to be the most informative and entertaining sailing podcast you've ever heard. I'm Darcy Waldegrave. I'm hosting and trying to keep these two roustabouts calmed down, Joey Allen and Barbara Kendall, two of the biggest names in the sport. We're broadcasting from Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron's Crow's Nest, one of the iconic rooms in New Zealand sailing. Lock yourself in. This is going to be wild. Bird's Eye View is sponsored by Appliances Online, New Zealand's home of legendary service for top brand appliances with free delivery and removal, 24/7 customer support, and a price match guarantee. Visit appliancesonline.co.nz and sail through your next appliance purchase. And here we go again, season number two, episode number one. Welcome back into the chaos. This is Bird's Eye View, coming to you courtesy of the finest sailing website in the land, Live, Sail, Die. My name is Darcy Waldegrave. Along with me, I've got a couple of superhero sailors, because I'm certainly not one of them. Barbara Kendall, superhero sailor. How's tricks?
Great to be here. I'm actually feeling a little dodgy today, I'd have to say, guys. Spent a lot too much time in the water instead of on top of the water in a race that we did down a 10K downwinder today, yesterday.
And what's your excuse, Joey Allen?
Just a bad day. Waves too big, too windy, everything wrong, just normal for me.
We're going to do what we did last season, but we're going to do it better and bigger. And we're going to kick things off with Appliance Online, Man of the Hour, Tower of Power, Mr. Troy Tindall. Troy has decided to climb on board with sponsorship of this program, which we're very, very happy about. And as it happens, the bloke can sail as well. So it makes perfect sense to get Troy on the podcast to talk about a turkey, about messing around in the briny deep. Troy, welcome to Bird's Eye View. It's great to have you on board, and it's great to have Appliances Online on board as well. So we thank you very much for that and your commitment. You have committed, haven't you?
Maybe not after this.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You might go, Joey, he's too dodge. I'm pulling the plug.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Let's start from the start. First up, who the hell are you?
let's start from the beginning. How did you get into sailing?
Well, that is the beginning. Who are you?
From the beginning, because he might have changed.
Yeah. You'd hope so.
So
we do
beginning.
Develop.
Let's do the beginning.
Well, like two other people here, I'm at Bucklands Beach, born and bred.
There's something sailor. In the water there.
We moved into the area and all the other kids were doing it, and I said to Mum and Dad, I think I should give that a go. And started
what age
a little,
were you?
I think I was like 7 or 8. I started in the blue boats down there, the old blue opties, which you just felt like you're bailing for hours, just in little bucks. And, eventually you progress up and get your first wooden opti, and then you're sailing around Browns Island, which felt like a real big offshore race. Remember I got a bee sting the first time I did it, and I'm like hanging my leg out in the water the whole way. And the coach is like, mate, you got to have your leg. And I'm like, I'd have been stung by a wasp or something. So, that's where I started from, and there was a youth training program out there as well, and J24s with Morris Cross, and that's where I did cut my cloth, I suppose. Mm.
You started doing it. I'm going to let you continue with it, or shall I ask my next question? So you're not defined though by your time in boats, is it? We're going to talk all about your sailing shortly.
Sure.
What about you, Troy Tindall, as a human being? Because you're not just a sailor. You've got so much more. You've done so many things. Obviously, Appliances Online now. You've been involved in furniture design, boat building. You've been doing a lot of other things. You've spent a lot of time at university. You've got degrees up the wazoo. So what else about you?
Yeah, well, I did love McLean's College, but I left there as quick as I could because school wasn't perfect for me.
And so did you end of form 6, year 12?
Form 6. And I couldn't leave. My parents were like, you can't leave school until you have a job. So I got an apprenticeship at North Sails in Pakenham Street. And that was just before the 2000 Cup. And, you know, I walked in there and there were some absolute legends in there that I learned from. And pulling big, huge super yacht sails through sewing machines for days on and nights on end, and getting ourselves into a whole bunch of trouble down there, and it was a pretty cool time.
Rough crew there, eh?
Yeah,
some tough boys in there.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
Don't mention any names.
No, I won't. I won't. We don't want to incriminate anyone. But no, it was awesome. You know, learn really how to make sales, and then you know you're going and fitting them onto bigger boats. And you know, I can remember that 2000 Millennium Cup, and there was just so many super yachts here, and we built the majority of the sails for them. We were building cup sails. The Volvo was in full swing. You know, we did all the News Corp and Deuce Dragon sales. It was epic. So I love that.
Do you think that was a peak for our yachting industry around that 2000 era? You know,
I think
after we'd won the cup, and then you had the super yachts coming
down
here.
Yachts and you know, there was heaps of activity in our industry here for sure. Then I feel like, yeah, maybe it was the peak. You know, we had Southern Spars right next door. They were producing some of the, you know, obviously the biggest rigs at that time. There was just heaps of people coming to town, getting stuff made, getting stuff, you know, repaired and prepared by us. So,
well, that return, is there another peak on the way, do you think? We hope for not plateaued there, right?
It's, you just never know. I mean, it certainly has changed. I think New Zealand, and I don't want to get political or anything, but we probably didn't appreciate how much that industry was worth to us at the time. And, I think we've lost a lot of our good talent to overseas. We probably should have done more to retain that. But, you know, hopefully, who knows, you know, maybe one day there'll be an America's Cup back here, and that, you know, gives it a bit more attention. It was great to see the Millennium Cup back on this year, albeit with a lot less boats. But, you know, hopefully we work out how to make that happen again, but it's going to take a pretty big effort.
I remember that Millennium Cup and how amazing it was. And we sailed to Kawau in our tiny little boat, and it was just wall to wall of super yachts. And I was just like, wow, this is in New Zealand. You could just about walk from one boat to the other boat to the other boat. It was like a sea of lights. It was just, I just remember that really, really clear. That was super cool.
I'll tell you what hurt it was COVID.
We were
in St. Bart's, and I remember leaving St. Bart's, and every boat in that bay was coming to New Zealand. You know, all of them. The one we were on, like big boats. They were all on their way down, and it just...
It did. It killed it.
It killed it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, who knows if that was such a success, whether it would have left again, you know? It might be it stuck around.
You never know. You never know.
It'd be cool to, like you say, it'd be really, really cool to be able to put some focus onto that and channel into the future and say that would be a really cool a goal for the yachting industry. To be able to have something like that again and keep building on that Millennium Cup.
Yeah, I mean, we saw all the people, I know we're jumping around a little bit, but come out for Sail GP, you know, like
the
buy-in was massive. The city, I haven't seen the city pump like that in forever.
If we can build on that. So Sail GP, if we know that this is event happening every year, then that starts to build a...
From Friday morning till Sunday night, every cafe, restaurant, it was pumping.
The vibrancy in the air and all around here. Like,
Auckland's
I've been to a
so
few Formula
that.
One, and that's what it reminded me. It wasn't as big, but it could get that big.
Yeah.
The professional attitude of everybody concerned, the way it looked.
I remember driving
it was
over the
quite
bridge,
something else.
You know, about, I don't know, probably about 1 o'clock, and all the boats were already out there, you know, and it showed that grandstand feeling of what it should be like, and it was just packed. And you could see the square part of where the race course was going
to
be.
I just found it so hard to watch. My heart was in my throat.
It
was scary.
It was sweaty armpit material.
Freaking
wasn't it?
Dangerous. Yeah. It looked. Those guys, they've got big testicles.
Well, so close, you could hear almost heartbeats as they were tearing along. It's like, they're right, I could touch this. That's what got me about
it.
The proximity.
Just you, Joey. I think the whole crowd, because when you listened and to the crowd as they were coming in. And
were you, in the, in the grandstand?
I was in the grandstand. Oh. I went one day, I thought, I'm not going to pay to go see a sailing race. Are you kidding?
Don't you know who I am?
And then my daughter was in the winging, and I'm like, I have to come and watch, you know, so we paid. And it was so good. I paid to come back the next day.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I'm like, you know, it was amazing.
Awesome.
And if you could build, and I'm sure Russell's already thinking about that, but if everyone can mobilise building some more events in and around that attracts the mega yachts down here, that'd be really cool. Everyone's thinking about that somewhere, but that would be a cool thing to have happen.
Troy, it was starvation, wasn't it, for the punter's point of view? You haven't seen any decent yacht race here in so long. You talked about Millennium Cup, but then you look at the America's Cup, you look at the Volvo, and that's all gone. People were just dying. They'd take anything. They took this because it was incredibly put on, but that's what has to be built on now. But what can we do, and what can people like you do?
Well, I don't know what I can do, mate. But you know,
he wants to go yachting.
Yeah,
he wants to go yachting
now. But no, I think the best part about SailGP is it brings it to the people. You know, you don't have to find someone with a boat or have a boat to go out and watch it. You know, you can come down here on the breakwater, the yacht squadron, and watch this stuff going on. And you know, even the training days, they had a week of training here beforehand. And I remember going out winging off Devonport and you're calling starboard on these blokes ripping up the harbour, you know. It was epic. It's just good to
when
see it.
It was only a matter of time,
wasn't it?
It
was only a matter of time
she's
for winging, Kevin.
I think something that you hear about in sport all the time now is putting the fan.
Sorry.
They say fan-centric, but more increasingly putting the fan at the centre of the room. And you see a number of sports now, they know the eyeballs, the bums on seats, that's where it's at, because without that, there is nothing. So to see Sir Russell come in and do that and understand it's about that, and it's not just sailors, it's everybody. My mother, my 78-year-old mother, hates sport. SailGP, she's all over it.
That's
so
epic.
When you're attracting people like that into it, that's how it grows again.
Absolutely. And I think two people, I mean, I think SailGP needs to keep working on selling the progression through into the final three. Like, it doesn't really matter who wins the third race on the Saturday. It's about who's going to make it into that top three, you know, and potentially that battle between six and seven is actually
more exciting.
So getting the narrative right and is something they're constantly working on. But, yeah, coming back to that Auckland event, I think that's probably Russell's vision. It was there, you know. Everyone could get a taste of it, understand it and go, oh, wow. And you saw that in Lyttelton for the last 2 years, but this was just on a massive scale.
And that's what we need to do. You just need to scale things like that because, you know, this is the city of sails.
The important thing here is it's a one-man band. Russell runs this thing, does what he wants, when he wants, and can progress it very, very fast, not trying to run through various laws and various divisions that the day, because we're doing this now,
yep,
and we're going to do this now. So it builds and builds and builds.
And he had full support of the city, like Michelle Hooper, who's a sailor, is in charge of mega events in Auckland, and she got in right in behind it and made it happen as well and removed a lot of the barriers, which is awesome, and you need collaboration like that.
So what about your experience? Because you were working, weren't you, down in Christchurch or Totahi Christchurch when it first started. What was your involvement then?
I filled in for Anna Took, who's Blair's cousin. She went on maternity leave. And so I just stepped in and helped with the operations, managing the operations of the team. And that was, you know, it was a really cool experience to go and work with Pete and Blair and Josh and Andy and Ray and all those guys again. And you know, just see their progression through and really, you know, they started in year two, I think it was. And it was, so we picked it up in year three, went through into season four. And we have to remember, SailGP is only into its just started its fifth season, right? I mean, it's this big. It's got 12 teams now. I was in Sydney last weekend for it. You know, they're barreling into their first mark. There's nothing better than that. And so, yeah, to see where it's going to go and across the next, you know, 5 years, it's pretty exciting. But, yeah, seeing Christchurch to come together, I mean, Carl Budge and his event team pulled that together in Lyttelton and did a out of nothing, did this amazing job. And for 2 days, there was people screaming and hooting and yelling and loved it, that whole event. And then I went down last year when it was on. I didn't make it for the Saturday when the Dolphins turned up and decided to have a play. But I was there on the Sunday, and it was off its head again. It was epic, you know, and there was bands playing, and the racing was epic. And I think, too, you know, some of the best parts about Lyttelton, what happened was the boats turned up because of the Dolphins in the first year. There was no practice training, so they turned up really into that first start. So the first time people saw it was when they were all barreling into that first mark. And I think that was almost better. You know, it built this hype and it was like, wow. Probably not better for the sailors, as Joey says. It's pretty out of control. But they got around it. And, it's great to see it then progress to what it was in Auckland this year. And I think I've been to a lot of events around the world now. That was by far the best event.
And on big events, it's probably not much bigger than Sydney Hobart. And you've had a whale of a time, excuse the pun, but you have, haven't you? How many victories?
I think we had 8 on Wild Oats. Yeah. So I was fortunate to be part of that team. You know, the Oatleys put together an awesome campaign. Always ran it really well. I started working for them when I was 21, and you know, when I started working for them, we had a 66-footer, and a month after I started working for them, Bob came down and said that he's building a 100-footer, and we're taking on Joey and Neville and those boys.
That's
that
a
year.
Big commitment, isn't it, right there?
Yeah, it was massive. I mean, that's...
That's a great rivalry, eh? That was a great rivalry.
And a friendly rivalry, you know? Like, I saw Neville in Sydney last weekend, you know? We still chat about it, still banter around it. Yeah. And, that year, I mean, you know, Neville building that tungsten bulb, right? That was a big thing. And, everything was, that was an expensive big thing to try and beat the other boat. And we're all, like, developing sails at a great rate of knots. We only launched that boat on the 5th of December.
Yeah.
And Hobart starts on the 26th. And I think we were fortunate. It was a honking downwinder.
Honking downwinder.
Like, we broke the record.
Yeah.
We broke the record one without your mainsail handicap.
You finished,
we finished with no mainsail.
Mainsail, yeah.
Yeah, we blew the vang off it at the corner and then pulled on a reef out. I mean, we still didn't know how to sail it. We're pulling a reef out and someone left the lured runner. They didn't get the battens unhooked off the lured runner. So then when it went up, just tore all the battens out. So then we just had to pull it down. And lucky she was about 35 knots coming up into the finish. So we just finished under the jib. But, yes, it was epic. Hydraulic fluid all over the deck. And
I don't think I've seen this guy light up so much as when you started mentioning Sydney Hobart.
Oh, that race he's talking about was crazy.
Smile, that race. Like, what are your memories?
Oh, my God. I had this memory of I had to do something on the bow, and it was 30 knot yachting, right? Nose diving and
pitch black night, like one
it
of
was
the darkest
scary.
Nights.
And I just said, guys, I need three volunteers to help me do this. And the first guy was a young guy called Ben Ainsley.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "I'll help you," and I said, "Mate, I thought you were brighter than this." and the Aussie boys, the humour. This young guy said, "Pick me, Joe. I've just broken up with my girlfriend. I'm suicidal." You know, like that. But those memories of, I remember nosediving so deep into a wave and I climbed up the forestay, and that's how I came shimming down the forestay. That's how I survived.
Yeah, we didn't know just how to sail those boats.
And we were running nylon sails.
Yeah.
Like, we were so wrong looking back.
Wooling the spinnakers.
That was winches. The end of nylon. I think that race, that was the end of it just.
We winched the sails back down the back of the boat, then back up the other side, and then you'd wool them.
Yeah.
So you'd winch them right up the back.
Imagine how many sheep we went through.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was a crazy, crazy race. Anyway, hey, let's get back to youth program. We haven't got you for long here.
Yeah, cool. So after, I suppose, I did the youth training program at Bucklands Beach, I came up here and about the time I started with North Sails, and it was, I think, one of the best programs in the world.
So who was with you in your I think of it as
Simon
Minocrio,
Ryan Houston, Stu Malloy, Matty Stewart, all Kevin Pete was our coach. We had it was Laurie Jury, all those boys. We had a good Adam Minocrio, Nick Blackman. I can't
see that every time coming. That we talk about that youth program, it just reeks of it. Yeah. Incredibly talented.
I'm forgetting someone will be angry.
Yeah, you better get everybody, mate.
No, it was good. It was really cool. And, you know, we did that for 2-3 years. We'd go offshore and do mat racing regattas and
clean up.
You'd come here and you'd sail, you know, you do the Friday night rum race, which would put you in pretty bad shape for the weekend. And then you'd, you'd do training, and it was full drills. Like, you know, Harold would come in and teach us about certain bits, and then you'd go out and do certain drills with Kevin and, and there was a full weekend of it. And then you'd sail together. Simon and I bought a half share in an MRX, so we'd sail on that during the week as well and go out sailing against like Phil Douglas and Grant Beck and those guys. It was unreal.
And you're all good mates still?
We're all going up to Bow Islands this weekend for some wing foiling. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, should I really better tell mates. My wife?
Yeah, you better come, Joey. Don't want to be left out.
Why you're involved in youth training programs now through Appliances Online, is that part of that drive to give that same lift at that age?
Yeah, look, I think, the Winning family in particular who own Appliances Online, this is the Winning Group. We have an assortium of companies. you know, Appliances Online is our largest online retailer of appliances in Australia. We launched that here today, you know, for Kiwis. I'm very proud to be able to bring that back home here. I've seen the way that we get our deliveries done here, and it's not as seamless as what it is, Appliances Online is in Australia. We do about 2,500 deliveries a day in Australia. We've got about 280 trucks doing that. We bring it into your home. We'll take away the old one. We unbox it. The guys are super nice. And, yeah, it's next day delivery. It's free. So that's
it was only a steam, but I bought a steamer because I've got to that stage in my life where I didn't want to use an iron anymore, and whoosh, bang, done.
Yeah.
Through Appliances Online. So I can back that because I've experienced it myself.
Yeah. And so the Winning family have been doing that for years, and they're huge sailors. They're massively into 18-foot skiffs. John Winning Sr., he still sails at 70.
And really,
really well.
Like at such a high level.
Yeah, really high level. Like still winning. And Herman, John Winning Jr., he won the 18-foot skiff world championships 2 years ago, I think it was, and still sails as well. They've obviously had Andrew Comanche in the last few Hobart races. Big supporters of youth sailing. A lot of the 18-foot skiffs have got appliance brands on them in Australia because of them. They've got right involved behind the Australian women's and youth team in the last AC. And, we over here have picked up just trying to do our little bit where we can and get behind youth sailing, the high-performance youth sailing with Yachting New Zealand as well. So there's a bit more we want to do here.
So that's
over the
just started
year.
with Yachting New Zealand?
We've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Okay.
We want to keep growing that as we grow the company.
Right. And get more exposure because, yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
next generation.
It's also like, you know, we've got to have life outside of selling appliances, you know, and sailing's a really good life to have outside of that. And
it's one that you can do for life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, especially now we're winging. So, yeah.
With getting back to the 18s, like the Kiwi boys, I know it's been a bit quiet the last couple of years, but we've seen them out there competing very, very well. And has that been good for the Sydney?
I think it's the best thing. Like
that rivalry's... It's real.
It lifts the fleet, you know, like they don't really, no one knows what the Kiwis are doing over here, and they probably don't know as much as what the Aussies are doing over there, you know, but when they come together, one of them's always a step up. And those Yamaha boys were another level. They were untouchable.
Honda,
that's it.
Honda Marine.
And so, you know, it'd be good to see where they end up this year. I think they're going back over this
year. They are Ginge, Maddie and Brad.
Cool.
And I don't know how much sailing they've done, but they're excited. I know they're going to be there. They're going to turn up.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see. I see them out there training it'd be good to get another benchmark. And then I think they're pretty fired up down at Auckland Sailing Club about getting it going again. So we'll hope to see how it progresses over the next year.
Yeah. And many thanks to Graham Catley.
Yeah. Big time.
He needs a knighthood, that man.
Yeah. And that's like Woody in Australia, you know, like they keep it going. They're the men behind the whole thing, the whole engine, and keeping it running.
Yeah, that's a man with a serious yachting addiction is Graham Catley. Yep. Like he needs help, mate.
It's because Bird's Eye View, it's Live, Sail, Die podcast, and obviously brought to you by the fine folk at Appliances Online. Troy Tindall is our guest. You talked about youth before, which kind of moves nicely into the Youth America's Cup and the Women's America's Cup as well. That is a progressive line that I think everybody appreciates. And had to happen, right?
Yeah, we've got to have – the sport needs to continually grow and I was pumping up Barbara's tires before the podcast. You know, she came in when I was at Buckland's Beach Intermediate and brought her medal along. It was after
Don't
the 92
Don't roll your
Olympics
eyes, and, Joey Allen.
You know,
have you got one, Joey Allen?
It was before Joey won the 95 Cup. So, you know, I was just a little bike from Buckland's Beach. And, you know, but the stuff like that –
Did I bring my boat into the assembly? Because I remember taking my P class into a few school halls and rigging it as a talk for the kids at school.
Maybe it
wasn't that one because I was windsurfing by then, or boarding a windsurfer.
I didn't focus too much at school, but I can remember you coming in, and it definitely played a big part. And I think, you know, every person within our sport who's a role model needs to remember that and make sure that they are going back and doing these youth things, so they don't know the impact it can potentially have on a kid.
I've had that feedback so many times. And after we won that gold medal, I don't know if I've talked about this before, Hamish Wilcox, Leslie Ignott, Jan Shearer and myself, we went on a tour right around New Zealand. And in the space of 10 days, we went to 35 different yacht clubs, schools, to speak about the Olympic Games. By the time I think we got to the last one, the 35th, I'd lost the plot. And there's a whole story behind that, but I was the last person to speak, and I got up there and I was talking about drug testing and holding a beaker, and I started going up and down like this with my beaker, and I looked down and went, oh, shit. And the whole school started laughing. And then I tried to get, try to start talking again, but Leslie was laughing, Jan was laughing, Hamish was rolling around the floor laughing. All the teachers were laughing. It was just chaos. And the headmaster had to come up and go, all right, all over now. And we never finished our talk. So I don't know what the kids would remember after that, but it did make a big difference.
That wasn't at my school, so sorry, you're clear.
But it does really make a big difference. So that's really cool. And I know that a lot of our Olympians now do that. And Yoda New Zealand does quite a good job of getting them along to clubs and at prize givings and encouraging.
And I can remember wagging school and going to the 95 parade, right? That was massive, massive for a kid like me. And I just was, I've been sailing for a while, but to then go, shit, we can actually do something with this. It's not, you don't have to just do rugby or cricket or what. And
well, it comes down to pathways. That's absolute key for any sport, especially this. So when you run the Youth America's Cup, you run Women's America's Cup, it gets the Wahine involved too, gets the kids. And that is huge. You're much involved in any of that at all?
Not at the moment, but we'll see. Seeing people like Joe and Liv right now and Erica, seeing them really connect with the female sailors, I think is huge, and they need to, or they are doing a great job at that. They're really good at putting themselves out there now. They've really grown in that.
Well, it's a growth area, isn't it? The sport is just untapped, essentially.
And you're seeing young girls turn up at SailGP with Liv Mackay, big heads and stuff. That's what you want.
Just for your information, this year at the IQ Foiling Nationals, we had 15 girls on the start line foiling, equal to the boys, just about. And right now, they're sailing just in the weekend, there were 8 girls training together, all under 23, and there were less boys. There were only 5 boys. So there you go.
Yeah.
And that's from how much more acceptable it is now. So it's pretty cool.
And talking pathways from there, I can see now that there's an opportunity and it just doesn't
absolutely
stop.
And
we've spoken in the podcast before about where it actually goes and how far sailors full stop can go. And you've got SailGP with 12 teams. I know there's only a certain amount of New Zealanders you can have on each, but it shows there is a way and you can become a professional sailor. You would have killed for that back in the day, wouldn't you?
Oh, man, it would have been amazing. I wish I could, do it all again, but... But I wing.
Yeah. What have you had much to do with the America's Cup?
Only around that 13 with that sort of team career and Artemis.
Were you with Artemis?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And but that team career thing was pretty wild and that's
Pete Burling involved in that?
Yeah, yeah. I rang Pete. He just won the Moth Worlds and we just lost. We started with Chris Draper and then he got poached by Luna Rosa and then Nathan Outeridge and he got poached by Artemis. And then I rang Pistol and said, mate, you've just won the Moth Worlds. You're the next on the hit list. So it turns up this 21-year-old kid from Tauranga. It's funny, I just got married 3 weeks ago and my dad in his speech mentioned that he came out one day and, we're training against Russell. And it was on San Francisco. That was Pete's first regatta. They're windy, big days in San Francisco. And we're doing pre-match race training against in the AC-45.
This was before the foiling, right?
This is before
this
the foiling.
This was scary.
Yeah. The bow was
no
in.
Lift.
Yeah, yeah. And you're deploying in the bearaway, So.
My God.
Yeah. So Pete, we're training and Pete decides there's a bit of a gap at the leeward end between Russell and the Oracle chase boat, which was imitating the pin end. And he just went for it. I love how he just goes for it. And he puts it in there and there kind of wasn't enough space. And he just got the leeward bow and punched it through the outboard. And next thing, the pistons fall out of it. And you know, rustled on the thing and we've hit the Oracle thing, and our team was funded pretty much by Oracle at that point. So, yeah, it wasn't a good day, but it happened to be my dad was the sick sailor on the back of the thing, you know, and we'd totally forgotten about it, and Dad brought it up. And but, yeah, that was Pete's opening. But that regatta, I think we ended up, like, third or something, you know. Like, he showed huge talent then. He was, yeah.
And so
then
it was apparent that he had a future.
Yeah, he went on from there to win that Youth America's Cup, and then Dolts grabbed him at the end of 13, which we shouldn't talk about. But
is that how he got his name, Pistol Pete? Going through the pistons of the motor?
Oh, or was that a whole of other things? You can ask him.
Okay, yeah, that we've got, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one to put in the back pocket.
What's next?
What's next for you?
Look, the focus right now is on Appliances Online. You know, we've just launched it today. It's, you know, we're delivering now up to Whangarei, out to Tauranga, Rotorua, Taupo. We'll do next day delivery in Auckland, Hamilton. We want to expand that into Christchurch. So, yeah, there's a big push on that. We've got the support of all the brands, Fisher & Paykel, Miele, Bosch, Panasonic, Samsung, everybody, you name it, coming on board. So for us, we just want to be able to offer Kiwis the products they want with great service.
Yeah, what about on a boat, though? You've just been married. Does the Ministry of Wife, is she going to get out there and start sailing as well? Does she sail? Is there still a possibility? I know that you're going to start talking about winging again. You can't help yourself. But this is something you also think is the future, or maybe something for the slightly longer in the tooth sailor out there.
Yeah. When I met Holly, actually, she was working for North Kiteboarding, so winging was the passion.
Perfect. Is that how you got cheap gear?
Yeah, it is. That's why I run
that's
North.
That's what I thought. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. That was the reason I,
my wife.
Yeah, reason I mean, I stuck it out.
Marry someone who can get you cheap gear. It's perfect.
Yeah, then I fell in love with her. It didn't work out that well. But no, it's yeah. She's now the marketing manager at Les Mills, so we don't get that discount anymore, and Blair's trying to push me pretty hard down the Armstrong
route. Sure he is.
Winging's certainly the passion now.
Does Holly, your wife, do it as well?
She stopped when we had Otto, and she's more of a surfer. So it's quite good. When the waves are on, she can go surfing, and I can look after him. And when the wind's on, I can go winging. So it kind of works really well at the moment.
Mm. Tag team fun on the water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which way is Otto going to go?
Who knows? Maybe he'll be a Formula One race car driver or something.
But, yeah, get him into power boats. Get him into offshore power boats. I don't know, every year it was fantastic. Yeah. That's what you want to do.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then beyond that, it's just going to carry on living your life involved. Because you're involved. You've got various degrees, but you're also involved in furniture design as well, weren't you? Didn't you have a little company doing that as well?
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by all the little offshoots that you've gone along.
Yeah, I think, you know, you want to make sure you put yourself out there and not be scared of failing and, you know, have a red hot go at life. And, you know, I've just turned 41 and, you know, make sure that I have a big push between now and 50, and then I can hopefully just retire and go foiling every day like these two
guys.
But
did your adventures in sailing and where you went, where you travelled, I'm presuming that's helped your business acumen somewhat. You've taken a lot of that experience and applied it to real life.
Absolutely. I think managing Wild Oats for a long time, you know, trying to get 24 guys aligned and get the boat, keep the boat running, you certainly learn how to, you know, look after a team and build a culture and help build a culture and not try and be the leader, but, you know, sort of be the puppet behind it all. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy, you know, it's the same here. We've got, you know, such an epic team. We've got 35 staff here already in New Zealand. We've got truck drivers, warehouse guys, warehouse management, e-commerce management, marketing team, you know, category management, buying teams. There's all these different facets of our business here. And then, you know, tying that back into Australia, where we've got a huge amount of staff, you know, answering the phones, dealing with our service side. There's lots of different parts. And I just love seeing people succeed together. And I think that comes from sailing. You know, like, there's not just one winner when you cross the finish line. It's all of you winning.
And moving parts, all of them. Everyone has to operate, otherwise it's
and
not
every single
work.
Part, it doesn't work with, you know, the skipper doesn't win the race without the bowman or the mid bowman or the guy in the sewer packing the spinnakers.
It's always the mid bowman.
Or the families behind that are in behind looking after the sailors. So when they come in and they're hungry, they're the ones that are making the meals, just speaking up for the women in these teams.
And speaking up for bowman, which I knew would happen there. We've run out of time. We could probably do it all over again. You've also managed to pick yourself up a podcast as well, haven't you, Appliances Online? You got a good deal for all the crew out there who are watching and listening to this podcast?
Yeah, we'll give a discount code for you all who are watching. Get online and order. And, you know, I think the energy that you guys bring here is something we want to get behind. That's the same thing with our brand. You align with our brand really well. And what Live, Sail, Die do and bringing it all together is perfect for us.
Bird's Eye View, that winds it up. That is episode 1, series 2 of Live, Sail, Die's Bird's Eye View. My name is Darcy Waldegrave. Troy Tindall has been our guest. Thank you so much for your time and your commitment. And of course, as always, Joey Allen, who we actually got smiling halfway through that. It was extraordinary. And the always ebullient Barbara Kendall, we thank you very much for your time and for listening. Don't forget, Appliances Online is where you need to be next time you pick up any appliances. See ya.